You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
Live across Wisconsin on Civic Media, you're listening to Mornings with Pat Kreitlow, powered by Up North News. Now, from our Lake Wissota studio, here is the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Kreitlow.
Good morning. It is 7:06 on this Wednesday morning, May 7th, 2025. Nice to have you here up north. Coming up this hour, our regular Wednesday homeroom segment. Often we talk to folks from the Wisconsin Public Education Network. We went a little higher up the food chain. We're talking to basically the head of Wisconsin Public Education, and that would be State Superintendent Jill Underley. Will join us. We'll talk about the crafting of the state budget bill, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and its potential impact on Wisconsin education. And, of course, we'll talk about Teacher Appreciation Week coming up as well. Joe Zepecki in our next hour. Melissa Kay is hanging around to chat with us some more. And Brittany Merlot joins us, civic media meteorologist and award-winning report. How do we...
We have two award winners.
Yes. Look at all the...
I mean,
so
I'm technically
much
a third,
awarding.
But it was second place.
You're but there. You're still award-winning.
Yes.
Of course. Yeah.
I don't have like hardware.
Oh, you still have the paper, which is awesome. You could frame it.
This pencil cup, would you take that as like a trophy?
Hey, look, a blind guy from the 19th century just strolled in.
a literal tin cup that I somehow inherited.
That's kind of cool.
I was just going to say, I would take that. That's pretty cool.
you could
more useful than a thing that's going to hang on the wall.
Yeah, or copper. It'd probably be a great Moscow Mule thing if it didn't have like 30 years of ink at the bottom of it as a pen and pencil cup.
It just makes you tougher.
Coca-Cola.
Makes the drink that much stronger. Well, we better get to the weather here, Brittany, where we have enjoyed just a lovely warm-up, which I'd love to see continue, but maybe with a bit of a dip on the way toward those warmer days.
Yes. So it was wild warm yesterday.
Yes,
Ashland hit 87 degrees. I went outside in pants, okay? Yes, I'm admitting the meteorologist did not listen to her own forecast. I went out for a walk in pants, and I was sweating in the afternoon. So, I'm welcoming the cool down because that was a little much really quickly. But either way, Ashland hit 87 degrees. And, you know, we are going to see cooler temperatures still hanging out by Lake Michigan and even by Lake Superior now. We're going to start to get that cool down as this cold front has moved through the state. So it's going to keep us a little bit more comfortable today, not as warm. Still plenty of sunshine, dry conditions, and a very high fire danger. That's through most of the state, especially north of Wisconsin Dells, all throughout the Northwoods. Of course, we've got a little bit of green grass out there, but it's not enough. Still, that vegetation is still trying to come back to life. So even just a few days of dryness in these conditions, it can spark a wildfire rapidly. So please be careful. I think there's 30 counties with burn permits now suspended. We've had 658 wildfires burning over 2,000 acres so far just this year in our state. So please be careful out there. Otherwise, high temperatures today will hit the 70s south and west in the state. But if you're by the big lakes, you know, Lake Superior, Lake Michigan, you're going to be in the mid 50s for highs today. A ton of sunshine up north, a few more clouds down south because there is some rain hanging out into Illinois and Iowa. But that cold front should keep a lot of it away from us. So I don't suspect any rain for today. We do have chances moving back for some showers and storms Friday night and into our Saturday morning as another cold front drops through. But behind that front, we warm things up rapidly. We're going to be right back into those mid-70s for the weekend. So a slight cool down now, and it's holding all the warmth for the weekend.
All right. Very good. Melissa, I was asking at the top about using this nice weather to grill out. And I wonder if in all of your busyness, are you grillers over there? And have you been a chance to do some outdoor cooking?
I'll have to cook over my campfire because I don't have a grill anymore. But yeah, I love cooking outdoors. It's fun. Mm-hmm. I have fudgy pie makers.
Oh.
There's so many things you can do with those.
I love a savory pudgy pie.
Yes. Crab rangoon.
Oh.
Or a meatball and a croissant.
This is fancy campfire stuff.
Yeah.
Hey, Brittany, did you know that Melissa was in a band? Sorry, just had to bring that up again.
No.
Oh, we're coming back to that.
Oh, my God.
Coming
back,
guys. Yeah. Robin Tigerton says, good morning. Partly sunny, 51 degrees. Yesterday, soaking up the sunshine, mowing lawns in the Wittenberg area, and today I've got 4 yards to mow in Tigerton. He said yesterday he had a 3 p.m. lunch at Rachel's Roadside in Wittenberg. Ooh. They had a fundraiser for a gentleman in Wittenberg who has throat cancer. Let's see. I signed a $10 sign-in for a guitar. I'm thinking that maybe was a prize for that.
A fundraiser. Oh,
I gotcha. And Melissa, I hope I can buy you a drink sometime after I bought her, Brittany, and Dr. Kristen in Appleton on election night.
Yes, so, thank you, Rob. That was very thoughtful.
Yeah, says Brittany and Melissa, a winning Wisconsin team, and that it was 82 degrees in Tigerton, dust flying in the farm fields as farmers work up their fields. And yes, they are. The field work is like fast and furious. Yeah.
And dusty.
And dusty, yes, and very dusty. That's all right. Brittany, appreciate the forecast. Thank you so much for that. But now let's get to the thing we just learned about Melissa here, that she was in a rock band.
I shouldn't mention it.
Before we get to that, Brittany, were you ever in a rock band? Do we have any?
No, never a rock band.
Okay.
Melissa, please all right, tell me
then more. We'll just keep the focus on Melissa here.
No. Yes.
So. For folks who might have tuned in after the top of the hour here, she just kind of let it drop that she was in a band called, what was the name of the band again?
I'm not saying it.
The Checkered Past.
The Checkered Past.
Which I thought it was a ska band just because the reference to checkered, because that's a, but Melissa, don't get all blushy-washy over this. You brought it up, okay?
I did. Only because I hate Hotel California.
Don't see that. That's what that hatred does, though. That hatred leads you to say things you would regret, and if you do that with Eagles,
I was one of the singers in the band, and I changed outfits every set, so I had a plethora of cute things to wear that were red, black, and white. And
so you go for like a white stripes thing. I see. Okay. All right.
It was a party band. I mean, these guys were all born in the '60s, so. They were all very, I think the band broke up in the early 90s, maybe late 80s, and then they got back together. And
when did this all happen for you? I need to know. Early 2000s?
Mid 2000s, probably.
Mid 2000s.
Yeah.
Any chance you'd be interested in like a one night reunion, just one night only?
No.
Like, say the WBA Awards 2026?
No.
No, great.
Band
got
breakup
it.
Was
Look
not
at this.
Pretty. Troy the band breakup was not pretty.
Troy from Madison, listening to WAUK, says Checkered Past was a good band.
you got a fan.
There's more than one Checkered Past, and it's probably not the one I was in.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
I don't know. I'm very intrigued by this.
I need to see pictures. I need to see photographic evidence of this band.
I want to hear a verse because she said she was the singer.
Come on, move on. Don't you have better things to talk about on your morning show?
Not at all.
Do you have any?
No. No.
No.
No, the budget will be there for a while. We can be sad about that later.
I was actually, if you hear clicking in the background here, we've got Dr. Jill Underley at 7:30. And we're looking at scheduling up Congressman Mark Pocan. And they were just sending the note saying, could he pop on today? I'm like, well, yeah, we could do 7:45 after Dr. Underley, but we may push both of these interviews.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We can talk about school and Congress anytime.
We need to rock out.
This
right
is
now.
The Brittany. Yep. See, Brittany said it. We're going to hand Brittany a tambourine and we're just going to. Yeah. It's the greatest. Right. This is the greatest day on earth.
No, it's not.
When you had the talk show, and are you bringing back the talk show or is that in limbo? What's the state of it?
I hope so. We'll see what happens.
It is award winning.
It is award winning. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I'm thinking either you interview yourself as a rock star or somebody. Yeah, or somebody interviews you.
Melissa, how did you think about being in this band? Well, it was an interesting time in my life. I remember most of it. All right.
Well, then you weren't that good of a band if you remember most of it from what I know of musicians. But
exactly.
Oh, gosh. If you were going to do this, though, what would you like to do? Would you do rock again? Would you do oldies, polka?
Well, honestly, I would like to get back into, because I am learning guitar. I've just taken a very long break from it. So I would just like to continue to learn and play and sing my own music, or, you know, covers that I like.
Melissa.
As opposed to bands I don't enjoy singing.
You know who else took a break? You know who took a 14-year break?
You?
The Eagles.
Oh.
14-year break, came back and made all kinds of money after that.
I can see it now. It's your own. Seize the K.
Yes.
Oh. Look at this. We're whiteboarding an entire marketing plan for this. Meanwhile, over at WFHR and WIRI, we're like, I thought this was supposed to be about our station. She's going to tell us what's coming up on the stations. It's just all about the rock band. So, Melissa, is there anything at those fabulous Wisconsin Rapid stations you want to tell us about?
We have a lot of fun with our new time slots. Our morning show on WFHR has moved from 9 to 11. And then our midday magazine has been
rebranded.
Thank you. As the Rapids Report.
Ooh, I like that.
The Rapids Report.
No, James did a good job with that name. And that will be available on podcast only.
That's
where our audience is. So that's where it's available.
Are you doing the Stephen Colbert thing and like the Rapids Report like that? Or?
I'm not sure. I'm not in charge of that.
Okay. To be determined.
Yes. All right. And then on WIRI, we have our morning show from 7 to 9.
Okay, that's fabulous. So there you go, folks. Civic Media app. If you need any other way to reach Melissa and all that she does, and whatever play you're going to direct next, and whatever band you're going to be in next, and whatever podcast you're going to do next, you're like our Renaissance woman here.
I'm going to go work in my yard.
Okay, flower beds and everything. All right.
Vegetable garden.
Yes. It was great to catch up with you. We're so happy about the play, and we didn't get to talk to you last week, so thanks for letting us get a double dose of you this time
around.
Absolutely.
Thank you so much.
Yes, and Brittany will talk to you in our next hour as well, get an update on the forecast.
Sounds good.
Okay. Robin Tigerton has this figured out. I sang karaoke back in the 1990s. Good thing no social media at the time. Amen, Rob. There's no phone video of anything that I did back in the day. And that's how God meant it. We weren't supposed to have permanent records online of these kinds of things.
I agree.
Continuing on then with some of the headlines, if you missed it in our first hour, the legislature's Joint Finance Committee will be meeting tomorrow, and the Republicans who lead it will take action on Governor Tony Evers' initial proposal. That's how this thing starts. The governor proposes a budget. The legislature then, you know, adds or subtracts, negotiates. In the past, they've just simply taken his bill and put it in the metaphorical wastebasket. And that's essentially what they're doing tomorrow when they've put out a list of the 612 items that they're going to be stripping from the budget bill. That would include help for childcare, help for children exposed by lead paint or lead water lines, extra help fighting PFAS in drinking water, expanding Medicaid to cover more families, repealing taxes and on tips and utility bills. There were incentives to freeze local property taxes. All of that is gone, along with the extra help for education, for mental health services, all these things that were far and away the most talked about items when the Joint Finance Committee was holding its hearings around the state. The governor's proposed the things that people want, and the Republicans on Joint Finance have said, we don't want them, and they're coming out. So they'll make that official tomorrow. Dr. Jill Underley on the way, and perhaps Congressman Mark Pocan as well, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota. Thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Trying to clear up the confusion about somebody's checkered past. Welcome back to the program, Melissa Kay's band. Checkered past, is it the same one that Troy and Madison saw once upon a time? Inquiring minds want to know. But in the meantime, we've got to do a little live on-air business here. If you were listening earlier, you know that Todd Alba had a little fun with me yesterday about, you know, time slots and where I was supposed to be and when. But as you just heard in the last segment, we've now got the opportunity for a couple of different guests that could come on yet this morning. But it would involve needing some flexibility on the part of Mr. Alba. And I am kind of tap dancing here because he either is or is not going to be on the phone. Oh, he is not going to be there. Well, I guess we know who's screening his calls now. So, so Todd, if you're listening, instead of at 7:50, we'd love to talk to you at 8:06 if you're around. So we'll send you a note to that effect. I can't believe that. Craig, did he just roll you right to voicemail over there?
No, this is not a Todd thing. I'd love to play it and be like, yeah, it's Todd, but it's not.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. We understand. So anyway, what we've got then is a state superintendent and Jill Underley, who's going to be joining us in just about 10 minutes here. And then Congressman Mark Pocan will be joining us around 7:45. And so we'll get a chance to find out more about what's happening in Washington, D.C., both from Congressman Pocan, but also from State Superintendent Underley, because, as you know, the Trump administration is trying to cut just an insane amount of money that has already been approved by Congress and is meant to go to education in Wisconsin and other states. And so we'll ask the state superintendent about that. We'll ask the congressman about it as well. And Jill Underley will talk about the state budget process and talk about Teacher Appreciation Week, which is going on this week. And, well, I mean, obviously should be an everyday thing of appreciating the people who are educating our children. But, you know, at this point, if we need a special week to remind people that these are things worth paying for, then we will definitely take it. The daily newsletter from Up North News, you can find it at upnorthnewswi.com. And in there today, Christina Lurie has a review of Wisconsin Dells Water Parks. I shouldn't say a review, I should say an overview. We're not rating them here for you, but she also gives you information on where you can look for the best deals when you stay at a water park, which you might do for something upcoming, Memorial Day weekend, or as soon as school gets out for the year. So head over to upnorthnewswi.com, click subscribe in the top banner, and be part of that. I have noticed this weird, and I'm not the only one who's noticed this weird little fixation lately from Donald Trump and the men in his administration, and dolls, and young girls' dolls, and the comments about how, these girls don't need 20 dolls, maybe not 30 dolls. And Trump went on in another interview to say, well, the dolls might cost a couple of bucks more than they would normally. This from the guy that said he was going to be fighting inflation and prices were going to be coming down on day one. Well, Mattel, the maker of Barbie dolls, has now announced it will increase the price of some U.S. toys because of the Trump levies on Chinese imports. But it's also just weird to see that Trump, in multiple interviews and now other administration officials, have fixated on, well, girls can do, less with dolls. That was one way that it was put. And then Trump said as well about kids, they don't need to have 250 pencils. They can have 5. That's an actual quote, that kids don't need 250 pencils. They can have 5. They don't need 30 dolls. He says, I think they can have 3 or 4 dolls. I just want to know why the girls and the dolls, why are you making them look materialistic? Where's the comment of, well, maybe the guy in the big red MAGA hat doesn't need an 85-inch plasma screen. Maybe you can get by with a 55. Maybe you can get by with a 55-inch TV. Maybe you don't need a pickup truck, that is the largest thing on the road and a hazard. Maybe you can get by with the little Ford Rangers, that you used to drive when people were using pickups, to actually haul things on an everyday basis, not just you know, for show.
Well, I mean,
but we don't hear that. When you're talking, if you're going to talk about shared sacrifice, then for goodness sakes, let's go all the way.
Yeah.
Is there a caller on the line here, Greg?
There is a caller on the line from the
weighty issue
from the Madison area, sir. Welcome to Martin's Pack Kreitlo. Who is this? Where are you calling from?
Yeah, well, you know where we're calling from? The Kreitlo planned this because we had a snafu on my show yesterday.
Well, guess what, pal? Guess what? We got a snafu on this show now. I'm double booked. I've got Jill Underly. I've got Mark Pocan both in the next half hour, which you remember when Johnny Carson would always bump, you know, the comedian who was coming on at the very end?
Right.
Yeah. How do you feel about being bumped to the top of the hour at the 8 o'clock hour?
Well, I can do that because this is a real first for radio for me. I'm calling into your show naked, Pat. I'm in the shower.
All right. Well,
how do you do this every time? You manage to take something I think it's just working nicely, and every time I'm hearing a little voice in the back, and it's Luke Mathers having a heart attack.
Pat, I have to ask you a question. How do you fall for it every time?
Yeah, that's a fair question.
Boxer, you wanted me on the show, call in now.
True.
I did. Okay, fine, I'll call in right now.
All right, pal. Well, look, next time around.
I put a towel on by now if you want to.
I honestly want to hear running water next time. I mean, these things are waterproof now.
It's right here. I didn't necessarily mean.
I'm about to have the state superintendent and a member of Congress on, Todd. We have to save this for the 8 o'clock hour.
I will talk. A couple of Democratic conventions. There's nothing too different. So.
Wow. I'll see you in a half hour, buddy. From the heart of America's up north and live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this a place to spend part of your mornings. I'm Pat Kreitlo. This is the Civic Media Radio Network. From the text line from Lori in Hayward, maybe Donnie Two Dolls doesn't need a $45 million birthday military parade. Yeah, we haven't even really gotten into that yet, in part because there's so many times that President Trump says something and then nothing comes of it. Where he says, I want to do this, and sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't, and there are many real things that affect you right now. And if we get to the point where this guy's actually serious about a multi-million-dollar parade, as he's telling kids they don't really need toys for Christmas, we'll get into it then. But let's deal with what we've got in the here and now. And that includes reminding you that Dan Schaefer, who was on in the last hour, you can catch his work at the Recombobulation Area. And I didn't share that address earlier when he was with us. It's at therecombobulationarea.news. Therecombobulationarea.news, and of course all across the Civic Media website, where he is the Civic Media political editor. Let's visit now with State Superintendent of Public Instruction, Dr. Jill Underly, as we head through Teacher Appreciation Week and start to bring this school year in for a landing. Dr. Underly, good morning. How are you?
Yeah, good morning. I'm doing great. Thanks for asking.
Yeah, well, we appreciated the chance to get to check in with you before the school year wrapped up entirely and while the state budget was going on and while whatever this is was happening in Washington, D.C. Let's start with the good news first. It being Teacher Appreciation Week, you've already provided some official recognition to one educator. There are more to come. So can you tell us about the importance of having a week like this?
Yeah, I mean, it's really just that teachers leave such a lasting impact on their students, and we can't thank them enough for everything they do every day. And I think everybody has that teacher in their life that they've thought about, you know, here and there, who's made such a deep impact on them as adults. And as you said, you know, there's more to come. We named our first one earlier this week on Monday, and that was Joel Coyne at Sun Prairie East. And Sun Prairie East High School. He's a business and marketing teacher, second career teacher. So teaching was not his first thing out of college. But no, there are more to come, and we try to do one in every level. So elementary, middle, high school, as well as pupil services and then electives.
You know, and it's great that the Department of Public Instruction does that. But I also noticed that, say, local media will do that. They'll have, you know, Golden Apple Awards or Sunshine Awards or Jefferson Awards or all kinds of things where they, too, will salute these local educators. It seems like an awfully nice and well-deserved counterbalance to what we so often heard in political circles about public education in our state and in our country.
Yeah, there is such an imbalance. I think, you know, when you look at the day-to-day of schools, incredible stuff happens in schools every day. It's positive. When you go into schools and you visit schools, I mean, they're celebrating students. They're celebrating the work of their teachers. And it's so positive. But the positive stuff very, very rarely, I feel, makes it into the regular news cycle. And the news cycle focuses on what sells. It focuses on the negative. It focuses on, you know, controversy. And unfortunately for our schools, they lose out on that. And that would be something I'd love to change.
Oh, without a doubt. We're talking to Jill Underley, State Superintendent of Public Instruction. And part of that, of course, stems from, I mean, we're going way back now to the Act 10 days and the years that this legislature has had the current management scheme, shall we say. And as we have talked about in the show, the Republicans running the Joint Finance Committee have already announced the 612 things that Governor Evers has proposed that they're going to strip out of the state budget. Many of these things deal with education. Some you agreed with, some you probably would have liked to have seen, done more or differently. But just from an overall standpoint, looking at the state budget and where we are in the process right now, what's your own evaluation of what the finished product could end up looking like?
Yeah, I mean, I think we're on the same page. I feel like that the Republicans in the legislature also understand that we must invest in our public schools and the future of our kids. And I mean, that's exactly what mine and Governor Evers' budget proposal does. And it's a great opportunity. It's a tremendous opportunity to shape Wisconsin's future. I mean, they could leave their mark on Wisconsin's future by making critical investments in education. I mean, the cards are out there. It, you know, the number of referendums that have been on the ballot, the number of referendums that pass, also the ones that just barely fail. I think, you know, the public, you know, at the hearings, you know, has made it very clear that they value investing in public education. And we have been, when you think about the generations of kids since Act 10, I mean, we're at 15 years that these kids, we've graduated an entire cohort of kids that have lived under austerity measures, teachers getting paid less than they would in other states, less than what they were earning really in real dollars in 2010. You look at the cuts to programs that we've had to experience and school districts trying to make that up by passing referendums. I mean, these are opportunities that our kids and our future have really just missed out on. And so the Republicans and the Joint Finance Committee can leave an indelible mark on the future of Wisconsin. And it's an incredible opportunity to do so.
And we should note that sometimes things are pulled out of what the governor proposes, but then some things come back in at either a lower level or some kind of a modified level. So if we look at it from that approach, what kinds of things would you say if people could contact their legislator, especially if it's a Republican one, to say, look, there is still time to make this better by doing X? And I mean, for me, X is always that wide disparity in special education reimbursement, but there's also mental health services. Mm-hmm. What do you think can be done that is actually feasible that Republicans could put back in or modify?
Well, I think, you know, just giving our school districts the flexibility, again, you know, to make their own decisions about revenue, making sure that they have enough revenue, whether it's in special education reimbursement, which would give them spendable revenue, whether it's in raising, you know, the low revenue ceiling to make it to the state average, giving school districts the flexibility by increasing the pupil amount. I mean, the reasons our school districts are going to referendum is because they've been locked in to these revenue limits that were put into place in like 1993. And it's just really, they are just handcuffed. Like, they can't make local decisions because they don't have the ability to even raise their own revenue. But then there's the other things, like you mentioned, you know, like there's all these cuts coming from the federal government that we're going to have to figure out if those are priorities or not. And our school districts have found that they have been, you know, mental health support has been a lifesaver, literally, for, you know, kids in our schools since COVID. You look at the investment in mental health has helped with our graduation rates. It has reduced truancy. You look at the investment in school nutrition and how that has actually improved academic outcomes. So there's a lot of things, and literacy. I mean, there's a lot of things. And it's really just that we don't have the flexibility to implement these without the funding.
And we've got Congressman Mark Bocan standing by, and we're going to talk to him about this as well. But let's conclude on that note of the uncertainty of what Trump says he wants to cut, what you're confident will be cut, the uncertainty about what is out there. I mean, come on, I can't even form a basic question about it, because we're getting so nothing but curveballs thrown at us from the very highest levels of government.
Yeah, it reminds me of those choose your own adventure books, you know, when we were younger. But yeah, I mean, we're all for being efficient in government, but not when it comes at the expense of our kids. I mean, and it's just really, that's what it's coming down to. I mean, we're informed every week, it seems, on some program that's being eliminated. And the most recent one was the mental health professionals in our schools. I mean, it's just ridiculous, you know, it's just how cruel, you know, this can be. But I mean, we're seeing results from the, you know, the federal funding before, and for them to cut it, that's really unfortunate. You know, you look at there's pilot programs that we've had, you know, for recruitment of teachers. We've had pilot programs for math instruction, literacy, AmeriCorps. I mean, there's so many things that we've, you know are working, and yet are just being randomly cut.
Well, again, under that guise of, you know, we're returning education to the states, which is, again, a fallacy. The state already had that. It needed the assistance from the federal government, and that is certainly in jeopardy at this point. Dr. Jill Underley, State Superintendent of Public Instruction, thank you so much for telling us about Teacher Appreciation Week and giving us an update on all the governmental matters in Madison and D.C. You've got a lot of plates to keep spinning, and we appreciate you spending some time with us.
I appreciate it, too. Thanks so much, Pat.
You bet. Have a great day. And let's turn to again, the chaos in D.C., where nobody's keeping the plates spinning. I mean, the plates are just falling and crashing everywhere. Congressman Mark Bocan joins us. Congressman, how are you?
I'm good. Sorry, I'm a little late.
Oh, no, you're fine. We had Dr. Underley available, so we've been able to have a very happy twofer today to get both of you on the show this morning. And so let's just start with that. Let's pick up where we left off with Dr. Underley, just on the education funding, because, yes, you've been in Congress for a while, but you were in the legislature for quite a while prior to that. And so you can speak as well as anybody to this notion of what the MAGA folks are saying is, well, cutting the U.S. Department of Education doesn't mean anything. We're just returning education control to the states. It's so much more than that.
That's cow manure, okay? Because I know I'm on the radio. That's how I'm saying it. Here's the bottom line. They're cutting 45% of federal funding. What that means, because they have not identified how they're going to do those cuts yet, could mean cuts to things like Pell Grants, which I received when I went to college. It could be cuts to IDEA or Title I funding. These are some of the bigger pools of funding. Title I is for lower income districts, many in rural parts of Wisconsin. IDEA is for special ed funding. At the end of the day, if you cut one of those two funds locally, you're likely going to have to raise local taxes to pick up for some of the slack, because you're going to have to fire a lot of teachers and you're going to have really big class sizes. So that means we get to pay even more for reduced services so that Elon Musk and Donald Trump get a giant tax cut, because that's now $5.5 trillion estimated by the Joint Committee on Taxation. So, yeah, I mean, Dr. Underley has got her hands very full with what's going to be coming up in the legislature as well. And unfortunately, I don't have a lot of faith in the Republican majority in Congress to get it right.
Well, and faith in whatever they say, because I'm looking at a USA Today article about how it says the Trump administration has reversed course on a proposal to cut all funding for Head Start, and says that that will not be, there will not be changes to the Head Start funding. I don't know that I can trust that.
No, and this happened a number of years ago when they were going to cut, when Trump won, was going to cut Special Olympics funding. And I and others called out the secretary when they came before my committee, and they backpedaled and they didn't. And the good news is we actually were able to add money at the end for it because of how stupid their moves were. And certainly, Head Start is one of those programs that'd be incredibly dumb to try to cut. But they're going to have these cuts supposedly between now and Memorial Day. I think it's going to stretch into between now and July 4th, because they already had to cancel three markups this week, because even their members are saying, oh, you mean when I said I was going to cut $880 billion, I was going to cut Medicaid? Oops. No, they knew it, but they're getting enough pressure from people back home.
Exactly.
And that's exactly what we need to do right now. Is
that's right.
That pressure up.
We'll continue the conversation with Congressman Mark Pocan, but first, from the heart of America's up north, live from Lake Wissota, thanks for making this the place to spend part of your mornings. Joe Specky in our next hour. I'm Pat Kreitlow, and this is the Civic Media Radio Network.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
Tomorrow on the program, we will have Melissa Baldoff, and our state capitol report will include State Senator Sarah Kieski about a bill that would ban Wall Street hedge funds from owning single-family homes in Wisconsin, which drives up prices as they get converted to rentals. Let's continue the conversation now with Congressman Mark Pocan, and let's start with Medicaid this time around, and a tale of two of your colleagues. You have, on the one hand, Congressman Derek Van Orden, again, saying all the usual things like he has told his leadership and he has signed a pledge not to make any cuts to Medicaid, and we're going to cut all kinds of waste, fraud, and abuse, but not Medicaid. And then Ron Johnson goes and rips off the Band-Aid and says, I don't know why everybody is so squeamish about this. If we got to get rid of Medicaid, we got to get rid of Medicaid, is what he's saying in so many words. And I'm kind of thinking he did us all a favor by saying the quiet part out loud and making it clear that for every Derek Van Orden out there promising not to cut Medicaid, there's a Ron Johnson kind of giving up the game.
Well, the thing is, when you make a promise, you also have to keep it. And I've heard those promises made by that member on SNAP, and he voted to cut SNAP as well. So, what the Republicans in the House did, and then the Senate concurred in a vote, even though they had 2% of the cuts of what the House had, was an $880 billion cut to the Department of to the Energy and Commerce Committee's jurisdiction. Their jurisdiction is Medicaid, Medicare, and everything else, totaling $581 billion. So even if you cut everything else, which no one has ever said they were going to do, you would still have to cut either Medicaid or Medicare by $299 billion by their own votes. So anyone who says that they're not going to cut it already voted to cut it. That's just not true. And, Ron Johnson, often says things out loud that, most people would not say out loud, but it's true. That's what they want to go after. I think they want to make it so that able-bodied men have to work in order to get Medicaid, which saves so little money. That's nothing close to what they're proposing. They're going to propose maybe a per capita limits on folks and all sorts of things. And luckily, they're having a fight within their caucus right now. But I noticed, Derek did not sign the letter that some members sent publicly saying they wouldn't vote for Medicaid cuts. So I guess we'll see what happens at the end of the day. But Medicaid, for your listeners, is healthcare and long-term care for 1.3 million people in Wisconsin. One out of three kids gets their healthcare from Medicaid. 55% of seniors in nursing homes gets their support from Medicaid. 45% of adults living independently with disabilities get support from Medicaid. So it's a big thing, and that's why it's important not to cut.
it's a big thing for, it's a lifeline for so many families. And Senator Ron Johnson just speaks so cavalierly of just, you know, cutting it. It's got to be cut. And I guess magically the private insurance folks come in and it's all affordable somehow or another. I'm not quite sure. Or they just go without coverage. I don't know what the Ron Johnson alternative is. Oh, I'm not asking you to speak for him either.
Ron Johnson could take his private jet to any doctor in the country.
Yeah.
I think that percent of people in Wisconsin is very, very small.
So you did allude to the other thing I wanted to ask about with Congressman Van Orden and others who have said, oh, we're not going to cut SNAP, you know, traditionally known as food stamps, nutrition assistance. Yeah. And came up with this other scheme where instead of passing like 25% of the cost on to the states, you would only pass on the cost based on the SNAP overpayment rate or the error rate in your state. Which makes me wonder, was that the Republican plan all along, but you start with an extreme position and then, you know, Derek Van Orden looks like a hero by saying, no, let's go to this lower number instead. Or do you end up that they actually do try to, you know, push 20% of SNAP costs onto state government and folks like Derek Van Orden have to say, well, what could I do? I was outvoted.
Yeah, that's a cut. And yeah. They vote for the package at the end. They voted for a cut. It's so simple. You know, yesterday I had a little conversation with the Treasury Secretary in a committee, and I asked a real simple question: who pays for tariffs? And boy, the answer was the most, esoteric Zen Buddhist sort of, you know, theory of life answer, other than who pays for tariffs. And in this case, if you vote to cut the funding, yeah, that's a cut. Vote to cut a program. And we can't let them get away with any kind of, you know, tap dancing about what the words mean. And, you know, we need to hold people accountable. So, you know, this is really why when Republican members of the House or Senate don't have town halls and aren't accountable to being heard by their constituents, that, you know, they'll listen to the DC special interests and their leadership rather than the people back home. And that's why that's such a big problem.
I've got a note here from somebody at Civic Media who says that they put that clip of you talking about tariffs and trying to get a straight answer. They put it up on the Civic Media Instagram, and that site alone, that video got 300,000 views because people are just in disbelief that they won't answer a basic question from you.
Well, and I guess it was Jimmy Kimmel last night. Last night I was on Lawrence O'Donnell, and what he said, and it made the most sense, was, you know, it's such a simple question. And the fact that they can't answer, you know, usually members of Congress have to bloviate, and I'm as bad at that as probably anyone. But it was a really simple question. It wasn't a gotcha. I was trying to get to talking about businesses in Wisconsin that are being hurt by the tariffs. But when he couldn't even answer the most basic question, it just shows you it doesn't pass the smell test that, you know, we live by back home. And, you know, at the end of the day, Trump's tariffs are taxes on all of us. But man, I lost my 5 minutes just trying to get a simple answer to who pays for tariffs. And, I think at the end, the secretary looked pretty bad for trying to tap dance that desperately.
Yeah, look, if you want to do something, just say you're going to do it. And I mean, give Trump credit. At some point, he finally did say, yes, those Barbie dolls will cost a couple of bucks more.
Yeah.
And you know, just follow along with that if you can. But the tap dancing, I sense, will continue as we move through this process. And we appreciate the update. Congressman Mark Pocan from the 2nd Congressional District, always great to catch up with you. Thank you so much for your time.
Yeah, same. Thank you, Pat. Take care.
All right. Yep, take care now. And again, tomorrow we'll have State Senator Sarah Kieski on, Melissa Baldoff as well. Coming up in our next hour, we will be talking to Joe Zepecki. I will ask the Medicaid question there as well. We will get an updated forecast from meteorologist Brittany Merlot and Todd Alba. Allegedly, Greg, we think.
He said he'll be here with clothes.
Oh, okay. In that case, Greg Bach is back in 1 hour for Matt.
Oh.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.